This is your last chance to enter the Ohio Lottery's Fun Turns 50 promotion. Score $3,500 and two tickets to the epic party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you could win part of another $400,000 in cash prizes. Enter the new 50th anniversary scratch-off or $50 worth of eligible non-winning $5 or $10 scratch-offs and My Lotto rewards through the Ohio Lottery app. Hurry up! The last entry deadline is May 13th. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
Welcome to Stories with Briscoe and Bradshaw. I would be Bradshaw, and that would be the WWE Hall of Famer, Oklahoma's favorite son, Mr. Gerald Briscoe. And this is Best of the Best, a special edition of Stories with Briscoe and Bradshaw, where we bring you the best, the greatest, the most iconic wrestling matches in professional wrestling history. And this week we got one of the great ones, one you're going to find very entertaining and interesting, of the showdowns in Shea, 36,295 people. This was the biggest one, but this is Hulk Hogan versus Andre the Giant. But Hulk Hogan is the bad guy in this. Mr. Briscoe, you ready?
I'm ready. You know, you just mentioned the attendance figure. You know, this is the third great event that they had in Shea Stadium. My brother happened to be on the one right before this one with the one Andre and Webner for the set up the Ali and Oki deal. And on this here, you mentioned this great attendance. They'd worked hard to build this up. And I think this match is actually, to show you how loaded this card was to draw this house, this match was actually the semifinal. Andre the Giant and Hulk Hogan, imagine that, semifinal, a match that would go on and revolutionize sports entertainment a few years later at the Pontiac Silverdome in front of 93,000 people. But the great late Bruno Sammartino and Larry Zbyszko, I believe, was the headliner of this great event that night. So let's get into this Hogan and Andre match. It's great to see just how much this match was and how much better the second match was, although this is a pretty damn good match.
Josh is teeing it up now, and here we are at Showdown to Shea, number three.
Nobody can tell that guy in the blue jacket in the middle of the ring.
Oh, yes, yeah, you sure can. A big beefcake.
Got that damn pompadour haircut again.
Lassie, Freddie Blassie, and Thunderlips.
Thunderlips, that's right, Thunderlips. I like that Thunderlips hairstyle in this
match. I do too. Thunderlips was one of the greatest characters of all time.
Yeah, it kind of looks like a Hulk Bradshaw with black hair, you know. Only you had a little bit more in the front than this guy does.
Yeah, exactly.
Maybe not now, but back then it. And look at Andre. Speaking of hair, man, this is Andre's finest representation of hair right here.
That's a giant head of hair.
It's high. You know what? I think he's just coming off the $6 million man Bigfoot series with this hair, dude, too. I know you were just a young puppy when that thing come up, but do you remember that hairstyle that Andre had?
Oh, absolutely. I love watching him on $6 million man Lou Bega. I was a huge wrestling fan, so I got to see Andre playing Bigfoot. It was awesome. 339 pounds. It's just like Thunderlips.
Wow. What a resemblance to Thunderlips. You know, Hogan at this time is huge. I mean, absolutely huge. Probably one of the biggest stages of his career at bigness. But look at him next to Andre. There's no comparison. Once again, Andre here. You know, he's in good health. He's not all bent over, a head up, a shoulder to back, and that back is straight. And man, he's intimidation look across the mirror.
Did you ever work with Freddie Blassie?
Yes, I did. Just right in the very beginning. I just feel like I really wish I could have done more. I forgot who he was managing when Jack and I first went up there, but he was managing a couple little teams that we had to compete against.
Man, that was meeting Freddie Blassie. You know, it's like a baseball player meeting Babe Ruth. You know, it was just, you realize you're meeting one of the freaking icons.
I mean, yeah, wow.
Pencil neck geek.
Yeah, you know, John, it was so cool. You know, when we were young coming through. Of course, I'm a lot younger, a lot quicker than you were. But a lot of these guys, you know, were the icons like Freddie Blassie passing through. You know, they come in the dressing room. Some guys just didn't realize who they were in the presence of, man. But you know, if you had any history at all about you, these guys come in, man. It was just wow. This guy's in my dressing room.
Yeah.
Great Mike Mazurki, you know, the actor and the great Mike Mazurki, the wrestler. I met him one time in Oklahoma City, my very first TV match. And man, it was like I'm meeting a celebrity here. Talk about celebrities right here. We got two of them in the ring right there, John.
Boy, do we ever. And they're the ones that really transformed the business. You know, WrestleMania 3 set WWE off into a stratosphere that hadn't been matched since. You know, the business owes so much to these two guys.
Exactly. Look how casual this crowd is, this gathering. I mean, these guys are standing out there in the infield, you know. And here comes a guy up, no shirt on, just kind of casual. I was told, doing a real little research there, that the Mets and the Dodgers were playing later on that night, and these are actually ball players out there. So anybody, any of you historians out there, prove me wrong. Tell me who these ball players are standing out there. They're supposed to be New York Mets ball players.
That is an unbelievable story. That is great. I love that.
You ought to get it here, man.
But you know, why else would a guy be standing there in shorts and no shirt?
Yeah.
Unless he's a ball player and he just came out of the dressing room.
That's what I read somewhere. I don't know where it was, but I read that these two guys sitting back there were actually New York Mets ball players.
You know, it's just, it's such a rotten way. There's 36,295 people there. And it looks like they're wrestling in a barn somewhere, you know, because you don't have the crowd ambiance behind it.
And as big as Shea is, you can't get that camera shot there to really do it. And nowadays, you know, all those ropes and bells and whistles, man, they have camera shots all over the damn place. But this was TV in the beginning when we're out doing remote shows. Now, look at that hair. And doing these remote shows like that, you never know what your setup's going to be, so you never know your camera shots. But I'm liking that breeze coming in and that Andre's hair blowing like Bigfoot, man. That's scary.
He'd paw you like Bigfoot.
Yeah. And, you know, here on neither one of these guys, John, and I think it's worth bringing up at this time, these guys, they weren't close friends. I mean, that's no secret. You know, Hogan was scared to death of Andre, to tell you the truth. Just scared to death of Andre, because he never knew what he was going to do. And Andre's breaking loose, Hogan's breaking loose, drawing big money, getting over like $1 million. And he's scared to death of his reputation. And he don't know how Andre's accepting him at this time here. So they're kind of battling can I trust this guy? And Andre's thinking the same thing about Hogan. Is this kid going to try to outshine me here? So these guys at this point in their career, I think, are really taking care of themselves, and you can kind of sense it in this match.
Yeah. According to history and tradition, for whatever it's worth, Andre was not very easy to work with for Hogan when he started.
Andre had to really like you and trust you for him to really give you his body. But once he did, man, as we'll see later on in these trilogies, the guy was an athlete.
I just love classy Freddie Blassie at ringside.
Yeah.
He's such the epitome of a great manager.
I was reading some comments about this match there, and a couple of comments with Hogan's manager. I mean, a lot of people watching this thing that aren't true wrestling fans, a lot of them said, what a distinguished gentleman standing outside Hogan's corner. But that was Blassie. I was reading his classy Freddie Blassie, man.
That's right. Can you imagine if Vince and Kevin were doing a shoot now and he saw some guy in the second row with his shirt off? That guy would not be around the next 30 seconds.
Get him out of here.
Get him out of here. Who is that?
Damn it, Kevin. Who the hell is that? Quit shooting him.
There's just a guy standing there in this iconic wrestling match with his shirt off and those little nut hugger shorts.
I guarantee he's got to be a ball player. Who else would have the nerve to come out and do that?
That's right, because why wouldn't he have his shirt on?
At first I thought he was one of the boys. Man, he's not built like one of the boys, and he just don't look like one of the boys. So I was reading about this match a little bit, doing a little research there. I found somebody said they were New York Mets ball players.
That is such a great gem you just pointed out. I love it. I can never watch this match again without seeing that dude without a shirt on. Without a shirt.
Just so casual out there, man.
Just casual, standing there.
Strolling in the park, man, playing second base there. Hope we don't get no grounded, man. Those shorts are meant to get the ball on the ground. Hogan calling out here. But, yeah, classy Freddy there. Look at him. Him and Hogan were made for each other at this point in Terry's career. Terry's a heel, too, in this match.
And, you know, Hogan is, I think, in my opinion, he's doing a great job here. You know, he's putting over – and because Hogan must have never had the opportunity to work this type of heel style. He's always the big guy.
Right.
So he's got a smaller guy, and he's a smaller guy now, and he can sell the job.
That's some heavyweight. Hogan was never easy to pick up and slam or pick up because he didn't like taking those big bumps like that. So you can kind of see Andre moosing him up there.
You know, isn't that amazing? He didn't like taking the big bumps, but he dropped that leg for 30 years. That's the worst move you can possibly do to your spine.
That's the reason he's had 17 or 18 back operations.
That's right, yeah. I did that a couple times. My back was so sore. I will never drop a leg again.
I hope not.
I certainly will now.
It would be a pretty sight to see you do it now, John.
If I do now, it's not on purpose.
Only leg dropping I'm doing is on my lazy boy. Watch this. Okay. Andre had never been slammed before, right, ladies and gentlemen? What's going on there?
For a guy who's been slammed by a bunch of people, he's never been slammed.
Hell, he was slammed by Jerry the King Lawler, and he killed the damn pro wrestling business.
Yeah, you're right. Oh, referee bump? Yeah, Hogan did not get up very well in that slam. I just love the art of the referee bump. It's just the best.
And look at the photo corps there. I mean, it's mostly Asian from Japan that come over to cover this match because both these guys were stars over there.
And look at that. Hogan, Andre got up a lot easier for the slam than Hogan did.
I guess Vince finally got rid of the ball player in the no shirt.
Yeah, yeah. That was Kevin Dunn Sr. was sent out there to get rid of him.
Yeah. At that time, Sr. was doing the truck, and Junior was probably doing the – can you imagine him being the security, though?
Yeah, second referee comes in and gets
finisher. The ball. And now this finish, Josh, smashes up. John and I were making fun of our coworkers here. Back it up so we can see the finish because – it's kind of a controversial finish. There's a fast count like we've seen before, but a Hogan kicks on two also. Watch this, John. Watch this.
Wow. Wow. I didn't notice that the first time. That was a road warrior doing a job.
Yeah.
That was
Hulk Hogan doing a job.
That was a two and a half.
That was warrior Hogan doing a job.
And he unbelievable. Didn't work.
Yeah. Fast count, and on that fast count, he manages to kick out on two.
Oh, yeah, that wasn't even close to three. I remember one time I had to put somebody, I can't remember where it was, and I told the referee, I said, you go ahead and count three. I'm going to kick out before two. And I guarantee you, I kicked out before two. It was so bad.
And yeah, I mean, you can just sense, John, did you sense the same thing that I did when I watched it? There was really lack of trust.
You could tell these guys were not really comfortable with each other. And this is the ultimate top guy finish. You know, one guy puts another guy over, he kicks out right at three. And, you know, we're picking on the Hulk here, but it's part of the finish. And then he leaves the big giant laying for heat. It's just a perfect top guy finish. I mean, nothing got accomplished, nothing got settled.
This got to be a keystone act right here. They look at that little flimsy-ass gurney as they're trying to put Andre on.
Good luck with this.
Number one, the guy's got 10-inch arm. Who the hell, how the hell are you going to pick him up with buggy whips?
Looks like piano wire hanging out of his shoulder.
Andre, get that thing out of there. I ain't going out on no damn stretcher. Give Hogan credit. He's selling all the way out.
Oh, yeah. Hogan was a selling dude, man. He was so good.
He could, man. And that was part of that thing. That's what made that hulking up so damn easy, because yeah. he sold like a champ, you know?
Yeah.
5 minutes, 48 seconds, away. I wonder if the Zola I didn't see that. When did the color come, John?
When he hit him up with, he hit him with the hit him right after it was something. He hit it right as soon as the fall went down. The referee counted three and turned his back. He nailed Andre with something, and that's when Andre went down selling.
Yeah, we're gonna see it.
They'll probably show it right here.
They look at us straining to get him up for that slam there. Hogan didn't like the altitude. Look at that face on Andre. That hair, I mean, wow.
You know, for guys who didn't generally, I don't think they hate each other, but didn't really like each other, they put each other over pretty strong.
Yeah, they did. And they had no problem. I mean, you know, John, you can be like that in business, but when you get inside that ring, man, you're a professional. You want quality. You kind of put those personal issues aside for that 10, 15 minutes, whatever you're in there. And you're working for the people out there in the audience. And I think these two guys were total pros like that.
Yeah, I do too. And they certainly, both of these guys, we owe a lot to them. The whole business does to them, because what they became and what they meant to our business, especially WrestleMania 3.
Well, we're coming up on this third end of this, the tail end of this trilogy, Andre the Giant trilogy, man. And what I consider Andre's Giant greatest performance ever, whether in Japan or United States of America, and it's with the great Stan Hansen. So,
yeah, and Stan Hansen always said this is what made him in Japan, was the Giant sold him, the Giant liked him, and after this match, Stan was made Japan. You'll see it all right here on our YouTube channel. This is Stories of Briscoe and Bradshaw. Be sure and like, subscribe, follow, all that stuff you do on our podcast network and on our YouTube channel. I'm Bradshaw for Mr. Briscoe. Thanks for joining us. We'll be right back.